We come this morning to the study of 2 Timothy, beginning in chapter 1. Now, the introduction to this book is similar to the introduction of 1 Timothy, so we won't take a lot of time on the introduction. For instance, the author is the same, the Apostle Paul. It's the same Timothy who is the spiritual son of the Apostle and who is a pastor in Ephesus. It's the same purpose, to encourage Timothy in the ministry by teaching him preparation and encouragement. So let's just go right to the text this morning. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you, through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind. So in the text, we begin first of all with this pastoral call. And Paul brings his usual salutation, introducing himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, which is the only way a man can be an apostle. It can never be by self-appointment. It must come from God himself, by the will of God. And then he addresses Timothy, his beloved son. Paul loved Timothy. And as a believer, as a Christian, but also as a son. And then Paul expresses his desire for Timothy in this salutation. He desires for Timothy that God's grace would rest upon him, that God's mercy would be upon Timothy, and that God's peace would be in Timothy's experience. And so here is a wonderful salutation, very encouraging to Timothy to hear from Paul in this way, with this encouragement. Then Paul mentions his prayers. I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, that I, without ceasing, I remember you in my prayers. He expresses confidence in Timothy, and he speaks of God's gift to Timothy, the gift for serving the Lord, and the gifts of power and of love. And he mentions Timothy's faith, which here is brings up the subject of generational faith in verse 5, which was first in your grandmother Lois, and grandmother Lois passed it on to mother Eunice, and mother Eunice on to son Timothy. And there's no doubt that the most effective evangelism always takes place in the home, from parents to children to grandchildren to great-grandchildren. It's that family context that produces the most effective evangelism and the most effective Christian living. And then in verse 7, Paul says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. And the sound mind means a healthy mind, a mind that can think in spiritual terms. And so here is Paul's introduction and first message to Timothy here in the book of 2 Timothy, verses 1 to 7. Now let's take up verses 8 through 12. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel, according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. We could label this paragraph, Serving Without Shame. Paul says to Timothy, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. That is, do not be ashamed of suffering for the gospel. And that could happen to you. Paul is writing from a Roman prison, and it's because of his teaching and preaching of the gospel. He says, I'm not ashamed of that. Timothy, do not be ashamed of the gospel or the testimony of the Lord. And he says that it is according to the power of God. God gives us the power to bear witness, and God gives us the power to withstand persecution and suffering. Timothy, never be ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Preach it and teach it with the power that God gives you. And then in verses 9 and 10, we have one of the most important statements in all of Scripture about our salvation and about our calling. Let's read verses 9 and 10 once again. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Here's a statement of salvation which gives a proper honor to God, gives the credit and glory to God and not to man. And he begins by saying, he has saved us. This is God's calling, and it is by his grace. And we learn here that it was predestined. That is, it was before before there was a creation, before there was time, night or day, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit set the plan in motion. And that it included election and the predestinating of all things according to God's own will. It was a predestined salvation, and it was a predestined calling. And then he said it was a holy calling. It's a holy calling because it comes from God, and because it involves spiritual values and eternal values. It was from God himself. And then he states that it was not according to our works. Salvation is not by human works. It is by God's grace and by God's calling. And even the faith which we exercise is not of us, did not come from us, did not originate with us. It was given to us, created in us by the Holy Spirit at the moment of regeneration. And then Paul mentions that this salvation and calling was according to God's own purpose. It was not the idea of man or of angels. It came from God himself, established as his own purpose to save a people for himself for all eternity, and also to put down the rebellion of unbelievers in judgment forever. And then Paul states it was in Christ. All of this is in Christ. Because of Jesus Christ, what did he do? He defeated death. He died and rose again. He is the resurrected living Savior. He defeated death. And he brought life and immortality. He brought eternal life. We would know nothing of eternal life except it has come through Christ. What a wonderful, glorious statement of Christian salvation and calling, predestined, holy, not by works, according to God's own purpose, and it was in Christ. We go on now to verses 11 and 12, where Paul discusses his appointment. There's three things about this. In verse 11, he says, I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. What is a preacher? And what is a teacher? Is there a difference? And that's rather hard to determine. They are linked together. Preachers teach and teachers preach. If there is a difference, it's that a preacher comes with a sense of authority and proclamation and a dogmatism that comes through the Word of God. He proclaims the Word of God. A teacher can do the same thing, but the teacher is usually in a different setting than the preaching environment, because he speaks to a group but presents other views and teaches the passage. So there is a slight difference. Paul says he is an apostle. And he said that in verse 1. An apostle of Jesus Christ, called by him, sent out to preach the gospel. And then he specifically mentions that he is sent to teach the Gentiles. And we find that throughout the book of Acts and the New Testament. We read about Paul's journeys as a missionary throughout Asia Minor. And so Paul fulfilled this appointment. And then he speaks of his suffering in verse 12. For this reason. What reason? Because I'm a preacher and an apostle and a teacher, I suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Paul's suffering. And again, he says he is not ashamed. He is not ashamed to be a preacher. He is not ashamed to be an apostle. He is not ashamed to be a teacher of the gospel. And for this, he is thrown into the Roman prison and heavily guarded. I'm not ashamed. And then he has expressed his confidence. He begins a statement of confidence with the word for. I'm not ashamed for or because I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded or convinced that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. He is confident because of the Lord God. I know him. I know who he is. I know that he is faithful. I know that he keeps his promises. I know that he has the power to keep his promise. And what has happened to me is according to his own purpose. And I accept God's providence in my life. He knows in whom he believes. And then he knows that he is confident that God will keep him and that he will fulfill his commitment. Paul will fulfill his commitment to God on the basis of God's commitment to him. And so we have the first 12 verses of 2 Timothy chapter 1. We go on now to the next section, beginning in verse 13. Verses 13 through 18. It's the call to loyalty. We begin reading in verse 13. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. This you know, that all those in Asia have turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he has often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Here is a call to loyalty. And Paul mentions those who were disloyal to him and Onesiphorus who was loyal to him. Now, loyalty is a marvelous, marvelous quality. Just so important in this life that we bear that quality of loyalty which comes from the Holy Spirit. that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. We should be in constant prayer that God would make us people of loyalty. That is, we would be dependable. We would keep our word. We would keep our commitments. And what we say we will do, we will do. And we will not change because of suffering or difficulty. Now, Paul speaks of this loyalty to himself. Paul had gathered people around him, and he took them with him on his journeys of teaching and preaching, and he was building a team, and he worked with them day and night and taught them and loved them. And it says that all those in Asia have turned away, some people who he thought would be faithful, Phygellus and Hermogenes, and they turned away from him. In one place, Paul will mention Demas, that Demas turned away having loved this present world. There are many reasons why people become disloyal, but they are not really reasons, they are excuses. And so there are the unfaithful people. And one of the heartaches of a pastor and a teacher and a church leader is that some of those with whom we spend the most time and to whom we give the most do not come through. They fall by the wayside. And that's a heartache. Not all. There are some who remain loyal. And Paul mentions a man here named Onesiphorus, who refreshed Paul. And what is not a shame to be with him in suffering. And he sought Paul out and found him and comforted him and encouraged him and ministered to Paul. Here's a faithful man. You know, this is really God's calling to be faithful. We don't have to be spectacular. We don't have to be sensational. But we need to be faithful. Faithful people who serve our Lord and who serve each other and who become faithful in that service. May God bless the teaching of 2 Timothy chapter 1. To our hearts this day. In Jesus' name, amen.